When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Dave Baker.
And I'm Spandrew Spice.
Welcome to Deep Cuts, the podcast where we pick a topic and walk you through the ins, the outs, and the nitty-gritty so you can appear like an interesting and idiosyncratic person at your next forced social function. Today's topic is...
the mysterious history of crop circles.
What are crop circles? Well, they're large, intricate, and ornate geometric patterns that unknown entities, presumed to be extraterrestrial, have been carving into large cornfields for close to 40 years. Why are they doing this? To communicate with us? To issue a solemn warning? Or is it just because they're bored? Or maybe it's two guys who took a joke way too far. One, circles within circles, plans within plans. There's something housed deep down in the human spirit, a slight uneasiness, a rolling, tossing and turning, a sensation that what we can see, feel, and touch isn't enough, that life extends past the world we inhabit. Some people look inward. They attempt to traverse the burning existential vistas of the soul, looking for answers to these unexplainable feelings. Other people seek answers above, out there. They're looking for answers about if we are, in fact, alone in the universe. One way that we collectively connect to the possibilities of otherworldly travels is via the phenomenon of crop circles. What exactly is a crop circle? Well, it's a large, usually intricate geometric pattern that's been carved into the foliage of a field or the rows of spiraling expanses of a farm. The term was first coined in the 1980s by a man named Colin Andrews. These geometric shapes took the world by storm in the late 70s and early 80s, with many people being instantly convinced that they were in some way a sign of life from outer space. Despite their rise in popularity in the 1980s, there have been multiple historic sightings that sync up with how we currently perceive the idea of crop circles. Spandrew, this woodcut sign here is from the 1600s. It's from a pamphlet. Do you want to read this quote right here and then describe the thing that we're looking at?
The Mowing Devil, or Strange News of Hertfordshire. And then there's like a crude drawing of a man of some sort, or I guess that's the alien, or is that
it's like
the
a
guy?
Goat legged demon creature with a sickle carving shapes into a field of corn.
The Mowing Devil, or Strange News Out of Hertfordshire, is the title of an English woodcut pamphlet published in 1678. The pamphlet tells of a farmer in Hertfordshire who, refusing to pay the price demanded by a laborer to mow his field, swore he would rather the devil mowed it instead. According to the pamphlet, that night his field appeared to be in flames. The next morning, the field was found to be perfectly mowed. That's no mortal man was able to do the like. Of course, this is anachronistic because the transatlantic accent was invented for news broadcasts on the radio and acting in movies. And this was 1600, so they wouldn't have been talking like that. That accent didn't exist. I had an interesting thought just now that really just kind of clicked based on thinking about this. There was like a uniquely different way of ideas taking hold in the zeitgeist pre-internet, but it still existed. It was a very different way of like inceptioning people. I've never really thought about it like this before, but everybody's familiar with the phenomenon of misinformation in the social media age. And I feel like the way that that works is that sensational, inaccurate information that appeals to a group of people's biases tends to get algorithmically disseminated out into the world via social media because you have a bunch of people who agree with the sentiment of the thing, want the thing to be true, and so they uncritically accept it as the truth and they spread it, right? And that's like modern conception of how something that's just blatantly not true, just a total lie, total sham, gets spread around and people start believing it. A relatively innocent example of this that doesn't get into any kind of like larger, more weighty topics is this thing recently where that singer slash dancer JoJo Siwa put out a song and this person made a TikTok that was like, this was my song. I recorded this song. And then this rumor started based on this, where through this game of telephone, people started saying that JoJo Siwa stole this song from this person. And like it was her song and JoJo Siwa just stole it. But that wasn't what happened at all. The singer recorded that song that was written by somebody else, and then they ended up not releasing the single back in like the 2010s or something like that. And then this same person who owned this song that wrote the song, they gave it to JoJo Siwa to record. So it was just a song that somebody wrote, and then they just let her record it. But this idea that she stole it took hold on social media because a lot of people just don't like JoJo Siwa for a lot of different reasons. And it felt good to be like, oh, she's a bad person. She stole somebody's song. And that's kind of how it works now. This still happened in a pre-internet age, but it was a different vibe. Whereas in a modern social media age, you get inundated and beaten over the head with a piece of false information. And enough people who want to believe it, see it and adopt it as the truth. And then ultimately, it's sort of like a perception is reality thing, where if there's a critical mass of people that believe something, it just becomes true. The way that lies and hoaxes and misinformation took hold in a pre-internet age is that they would just kind of like exist in the background radiation of life. There would be like tabloids on the supermarket stand talking about crop circles, and it would be in a movie. It would be in X-Files talking about crop circles. And it's like it retcons itself into existence, where these things just are everywhere suddenly. You're just seeing this story like in fake newspapers and on TV shows and people talking about it. And then it starts to feel like it's just always been around. And then it feels like a fixture of life. It feels like, oh yeah, crop circles. Everyone knows about crop circles. Those are a thing. I see them all the time. People always talk about crop circles. And then it just like retcons itself into existence. And then it just is true, because you see it everywhere casually. It just occurred to me because I was thinking, like, that thing happened a couple of years ago where that monolithic mirrored thing appeared in the desert in Utah.
Yeah.
And everybody saw that and they were just like, this is some bullshit. And then they like figured out who did it, and it was some like art collective or whatever. Like, there was never a point where people were like, this is a real thing from aliens, because stuff like that just doesn't fly anymore, because it's so easy to like figure out the origins of things by just doing some research on the internet to figure out like, oh yeah, that's because of this. Whereas back in the 90s or something, that thing appeared, there would be no way for you to easily look it up and be like, oh yeah, in 2015, an art collective put that out there. And then people would just start saying like, oh, the fucking mirror monolith, it's an alien thing. And then like they would start printing it in tabloids. And then people would start talking about it as if it was true. And then it would just like become real through this weird like reality shift. And I find that very fascinating. It's like a reality shift versus like consciousness shift that happens now.
Yeah, well, I think the other aspect of that too is that this specific example is from the 1600s. And the next example I'm going to talk about in a second is from the 1880s. And people had less access to education. They had more incentive by the powers that be to manipulate them into being docile on an individual basis as opposed to a mass basis. You know, information spread slower. Also, people didn't really leave their home geographic region as they do now.
Plus, they were so just poor that they would rather have the devil mow their lawn.
Isn't that fucking so funny? He's like, you can mow my lawn if you're the fucking devil, bitch.
That's just such an out of left field retort. Like, fuck that. I'd rather the devil mowed my lawn. We need to bring back that level of pettiness.
Yeah. Well, the next example of crop circles historically showing up comes from around the 1880s, like I just said. And it sounds kind of similar, honestly. Do you want to read this little excerpt from the wiki?
An 1880 letter to the editor of Nature by amateur scientist John Rand Capron describes how several circles of flattened crops in a field were formed under suspicious circumstances and possibly caused by, quote, cyclonic wind action, stating, as viewed from a distance, circular spots, they all presented much the same character, viz. A few standing stalks at a center, some prostrate stalks with their heads arranged pretty evenly in a direction forming a circle around the center. And outside, there was a circular wall of stalks which had not suffered.
So, like, that sounds pretty in line with crop circles.
The thing is that this woodcutting thing, like, this doesn't look like crop circles to me. This seems like it's just a different thing that is kind of closely related, and you could maybe, like, trace a lineage of the narrative or the lore. But it's like a little monster guy, like, cutting out a circle in a field. Whereas, like, my idea of crop circles is, like, intricate designs that are, like, burned into a field by like a spaceship. And that's more what this sounds like.
I mean, I think you hit it right on the head. I think to qualify as a crop circle, there needs to be some version of circles within circles, geometric shapes, patterns that at first glance appear to be of non-human origin or just non-organically occurring. The idea of crop circles is like an alien vessel has either made this as a sign, or when an alien vessel takes off, for whatever reason, the anti-gravity component that it uses to fly bends reality and leaves a crop circle in its wake.
No, you know what it is? You know how we have, like, truck nuts? It's like the alien equivalent of truck nuts. That's what an alien's junk looks like. And then whenever it leaves, it just like leaves the impression of the alien truck nuts in the field.
I wish that was fucking true. So the idea of crop circles is a thing that, you know, like we just read, has kind of existed since the 1800s. But it really takes off post-Roswell. And during the late 1940s, early 50s, and early to mid-60s, UFO sightings globally, but especially in America, just go through the roof. Cold War tensions, fear of the other, and the cover-up of Roswell spawn people who are very emotionally invested in seeing aliens everywhere. And so because of that, there's a thing that happens in Australia. Do you want to read this little section from the wiki here in red? And then we'll talk about it.
During the 1960s, there were many reports of UFO sightings in circular formations in swamp reeds and sugarcane fields in Tully, Queensland, Australia, and in Canada. For example, on August 8th of 1967, three circles were found in a field in Dumel, Alberta, Canada. Department of National Defense investigators concluded that it was artificial but couldn't say who made them or how. The most famous case is the 1966 Tully, quote, saucer nest, when a farmer said he witnessed a saucer-shaped craft rise 30 or 40 feet from a swamp and then fly away. On investigating, he found a nearly circular area 32 feet long by 25 feet wide, where the grass was flattened in clockwise curves to water levels within the circle, and the reeds had been uprooted from the mud. The local police officer, the Royal Australian Air Force, and the University of Queensland concluded that it was most probably caused by natural causes, like a down drought or willy willy, which is a fucking weird ass Australian way of saying dust devil, or a water spout. In 1973, G.J. Odgers, Director of Public Relations, Department of Defense, wrote to a journalist that the saucer was probably debris lifted by causing willy willy.
Can we just talk for a second about the willy willy? Like, I was laughing so hard when reading about that.
Absolutely, we gotta talk about the Willy Willy. Because the thing is, like, everything in Australia just has, like, a weird, goofy little nickname like that. The most insane, ridiculous, made-up, Australian-sounding word you could think of, the real shit is not less ridiculous.
Yeah, like, I was reading that, and I was just like, wow, that's what they call a dust devil? I guess it's really interesting how the Judeo-Christian ideology and iconography has just permeated American culture. But also, Willy Willy? It's so silly sounding.
I did some consulting work with an Australian company for a while. It was very funny to work with them. Sure, there's plenty of things about American language that strike people as odd. We just obviously are used to it, so we don't notice as much. But the little idiosyncrasies of the way that Australian people speak was very entertaining to me, where they have a bunch of weird little nicknames for things, like little cutesy nicknames for things. And they also use like really interesting phrases a lot that I just had never heard before. Like, if you want to say that somebody is like really good at something, you call them an absolute weapon or you call them an absolute gun. They said that a million times. Like, every other fucking word they said was absolute weapon. And then, like, their nicknames for people, like the way that you refer to people, is you give them like cute little baby nicknames.
How is that different than our relationship? Like, literally, how is that different?
Well, yeah, but that's us. That's a special thing between the two of us. It's not like a national culture.
I travel literally across the globe, and people stop me and call me Davy Bakes everywhere I go. I'm like crossing the street and someone's like, oi! Oi, is that Davy Bakes? Got, you know, an 1800s like artful dodger guy runs up and like doffs his cap at me.
Yeah. One of the guys that I had worked with, a guy that had hired me to do the consulting work, his name was Cleves. And that was his name. He was Cleves. And then one day I got an email from somebody named Scott Cleaver. And I was like, who the fuck is Scott Cleaver? And I was like talking to me in a very familiar way. And I was like, I don't know who this is. And then at some point I was like, oh, Cleves is Scott Cleaver? That's his name? Cleves is like a funny little nickname he has? And they all have names like that. And also, around the time that I started working for this place, I just was scrolling through Reddit and I saw a picture. It was like a vintage ad for an ice cream bar. And the ice cream bars were called Golden Gay Times. And I was like, I don't know why, but I think this is Australian. I've never heard of this before. I think this is Australian. Next time I talked to them, I was like, hey, just out of curiosity, is Golden Gay Time an Australian thing? And they were like, yeah, why? And I was like, I fucking knew it. And it is. I just knew. I saw the name and I was like, I think this is an Australian product. And then I asked them and it's like their version of like some famous candy that's been around since the 40s or whatever. So yeah, that's a total tangent. But like they got a neat little naming conventions over in Australia.
But also I just love that, you know, these UFO sightings, they come from typically rural, secluded, not densely populated areas. I mean, there are exceptions to that, right? Like the Phoenix Lights is a very notable UFO sighting that happened over Phoenix in the 90s, where there was like, I think it's like six lights that were traveling in parallel motion for like 30 minutes over Tempe, Phoenix, and hundreds of thousands of people saw it. But most of the time, UFOs are seen by like a dude, and he's usually a farmer, and he's probably drunk.
Yeah, but I mean, the Phoenix Lights thing makes sense.
Yeah, it's Arizona, right? Everyone's on meth, yeah.
All those people are fucking stupid.
Right, yeah. But the interesting thing here is, you know, it's this big sighting in Australia, and it kind of takes the global imagination by storm, because people are like, what the fuck is this crop circle thing? Like, what is this? And so from there, two guys, spoiler alert, you know, just for sake of clarity before we move on, I feel like half the time when we talk about conspiracy theories or cryptids or ufology, you know, you and I have the same conversation every time, which is like, I don't not believe, but also, man, there seems to be some very credible means of explanations for a lot of this stuff, but I want to believe.
Yeah, if we co-created X-Files instead of Chris Carter, the phrase would be, I kind of want to believe, but also this sounds like some bullshit.
100%. And I hate to break it to the audience, but them crop circle shits, them some bullshits.
I kind of want to believe, but that sounds like some bullshit.
Does that make me Scully or me Mulder?
I feel like you've got to be the Mulder.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I think I do. I don't want to be the sex addict who is obsessed with his sister. I would much rather be the cute redhead, but I think that's you, my friend.
Yeah. It's all me, baby.
Yeah.
Plus, being obsessed with your sister is like just a nudge away from fucking your cousin, and we all know how you feel about that.
So, this episode is going to be kind of one of them, I kind of want to believe, but them's just some bullshit episodes, because crop circles were created by two British artists, one guy named Dave Chorley and one guy named Doug Bauer. After they heard about this crop circle sighting in Australia, they were like, I think we could probably do that. Let's just do that.
They fucking kayfabed it?
Let's watch this clip.
Making crop circles must be thirsty work. For I've had a tip-off that the great hoaxer is inside this pub in Hampshire. I want to know about crop circles.
You're certainly in the right place here. Dave Chorley, my friend, and I sat in this pub every Friday night for 10 years just talking about art. And then for the next 14 years we decided that we would do some crop circles. The crop circles, we wanted people to believe that flying saucers had landed during the night. You see, our circles were circular UFOs, flying saucers are circular. So as soon as they spotted them when daybreak, they would say, hello, a flying saucer has landed during the night. But unfortunately, 2 years ago, Dave died. So that leaves me here drinking the pints by myself.
Well, if you're still in the business, do you want an apprentice?
What is this show? Because it's like the real guy, but like the way that it's presented is like a narrative reenactment of them having an interview that's like dramatized, but also the guy is like such a bad actor that it comes off like Garth Marenghi's Dark Place.
But isn't that amazing though? Isn't that so fucking awesome?
Yes. More like documentary series need to have like the host of the documentary just like do dramatic reenactments of the interview that they would have had normally.
Yeah. So these two guys, Dave Chorley and Doug Bauer, they see this case in Australia. They come up with the idea. They construct very elaborate rope pulley wooden shoe apparatuses for themselves. And then they go out and they start making these designs, right? We got a photo of the two guys here. Dave Chorley's on the left. Doug Bauer's on the right. Who are you taking? Which is which? I feel like it's pretty apparent which of the two of us is which of these guys. But what do these guys look like, Spandrew?
I mean, the short one's name is Dave. So there you go.
Yep, that's the right answer.
And honestly, that kind of looks like you as an old man. Like, I can see it.
I can see it, too. He looks a little bit more pissed off than me. But yeah, 100%. You put that guy in some black jeans and a black jean jacket with some horror movie pins on it, and that's not that far off from what I'm going to look like when I'm a 70-year-old man.
That's salt and pepper Silver Fox Davy.
Pretty much.
They look like fucking Robert Duvall and Michael Caine and Secondhand Lions.
Yeah, they do. Wow, I haven't thought about that movie in forever. Old Dirty Haley, what's-his-face?
Haley Joel Osment. Or Joel Osteen, as Kendrick Lamar thinks his name is.
That's a big difference there.
In Euphoria, I think, he's referencing seeing dead people and he says Joel Osteen.
So yeah, since Spandrew just didn't describe the photo at all, it's two guys standing in a field, both wearing slacks and button-ups. Doug is wearing a tie and a hat that says SWAT on it for some reason. They're both holding their wooden rope pulley apparatuses that they use to construct the crop circles with. Doug has a kind of very English, good-natured expression on his face. And Dave looks real grumpy. He looks like a big ol' grumposimus.
That's the yin and yang, baby. You gotta have one short, grumpy piece of shit and then a tall, handsome guy.
Uh-huh. That's what it is. So let's watch this clip of both of them talking. They start talking in a second. This is just some footage of crop circles that we're seeing. Text pops up. 1981, two men in England confessed to creating hundreds of crop circles. Doug Bauer and Dave Chorley demonstrated how they had been duping the world since the 1960s, using only a piece of wood and some rope.
Just to describe, they take the wood and they have the rope tied to it and they like stand on the wood with the rope kind of holding it at tension. And then they just kind of step through the crop and it creates like a perfect indentation in the wheat or whatever.
The UFO Society think that a UFO had landed, you see. And after a few years, they didn't know whether to believe it or not.
It's an obvious. I mean, it's absolutely obvious. This here, you see, it's not consistent at all with a genuine phenomenon.
I just don't believe them, no.
Absolutely beautiful.
There's no traffic. There's no human beings. There's no nothing. There's a full moon in the sky. Lovely starry night.
Dude's out here drinking
cheese rolls and your beer. What's better?
Drinking Copaid.
Your cheese rolls and your beer. What's better?
A couple of things. So first of all, yeah, those like UFO believers out there just like trying to rationalize and be like, this doesn't look anything like it. My life isn't a lie. It's very funny. But also, this is a bit of a controversial hot take, but the English pronounce it UFO. And so like they call them UFOs and then the experts on UFOs are called ufologists. Whereas like in the United States, we call them UFOs and we call them UFOologists. And I kind of feel like UFO is a cooler way of saying it.
Hot take, baby.
Like I actually kind of think that's cooler.
The thing that's so fascinating to me about this story is how crop circles were popular throughout the 80s and the 90s, but they really took off culturally in the 90s. you know, they were featured heavily in the X-Files and in all of these kind of science fiction narratives where, why do these things fucking exist? They made a movie in the, you know, late 90s, early 2000s called fucking Signs, which is just a movie that's like, remember them croc circles? What if there were some aliens? You know, like they became so culturally prevalent that crop circles really had their moment in the 90s the way that Bigfoot had his moment in the 70s.
These two guys started Joaquin Phoenix's career.
And what's so fascinating to me is that the UFO craze obviously peaked in the 90s with the X-Files, but the crop circle element specifically had its day in the 90s. After these dudes came out and said, actually, we did the crop circles. It was a hoax. It was all us. And I think there's something that's very interesting about conspiratorial thought and the way these waves of kind of cultural acceptance or pushback against these ideas come and go, where it's like there's almost two forces going against each other at the same time in some of these conspiracy theories, where it's like crop circles are made by UFOs. Actually, they're humans. And then as soon as the explanation of why they have come out the way that they have come out proliferates into the culture, you have these two kind of combative forces going back at each other, being like, no, that's not the solution. Yes, that is the solution, which then pushes the conversation into the next level of the cultural discourse. Like, there isn't an excuse for what Chupacabra is, right? It's just like, oh yeah, we think it's just like animals eating goats. And that's not as exciting as like, well, actually there was a guy who was living off of the goat blood in, you know, Mexico, and that the legend started from him. And then the other people being like, no, it's not a guy. It's an actual supernatural being. No, it's a dude. There's a plausible explanation. No, goddammit, it's not. And then that moves the Chupacabra up culturally. And the fact that these two just like chill broskies, we used to drink some beers and then go out to the fucking cornfields. That's where they come from.
Really don't know what that accent is. There was not a single word in what you said where I could place the accent.
It started out as Samwise Gamgee and then I don't know where it went.
Yeah, it's interesting. And it's kind of going back to what I was saying before, that by the time that there was the UFO craze in the 90s because of the X-Files and maybe just something bubbling up in the zeitgeist for whatever reason, and everyone just got really obsessed with aliens again for a while, because there was this history of crop circles and that they were an established thing that people had talked about before, and because they ended up being in tabloids, whenever it started to be talked about in X-Files and pop culture and got really popular, it was like, oh yeah, crop circles. Those are a thing. They exist. We already know about those. You know, you're just like, yeah, of course I know about crop circles. It's kind of like how you never think twice about Sigourney Weaver's name. And then when you really think about it, you're like, that's a fucking weird name. But you don't think about that because you've always known Sigourney Weaver. And Sigourney Weaver, that's just her name. But then when you really think about it at like 3 a.m, you're like, that's a fucking weird ass name. It's like that, where people just kind of accept something because it's just there. And then that coupled with the fact that there's just lack of information, you can't just easily go find out that those guys admitted that they did this in the 90s. Then, you know, everybody just starts believing it again. And it's like the opposite problem now, where it's like there's too much information now. Where there's so much information that things get lost in the fold. And then every 3 years, the story that Sophia Stewart won $1 billion from Warner Brothers circulates. And you could easily go and find that that's not true at all. But there's just too much shit out there.
Well, there's also the other added component to this story that they're not claiming they created the idea of doing them. They're just like, most of the UFO crop circles that happened in England, which then spawned everybody else doing it, were us. But the original one from Australia, that could have been aliens. It probably wasn't, but it could have been.
Yeah, we were just like those hockey pad masked vigilante guys from the beginning of Dark Knight, but Batman's still somewhere out there.
Let's read this article. This is a big premiere article written by William Twahey in 1991.
One of the most puzzling contemporary scientific mysteries in Britain may have been solved Monday when two men asserted that they were responsible for the phenomenon popularly known as crop circles. The strange patterns found in southern England's grain fields have been attributed to alien visitors, electromagnetic impulses, and erratic weather conditions. The designs in wheat, corn, and barley fields have been widely photographed, with the images published in newspapers and magazines without any definitive expert explanation given as to their origin. In recent weeks, scientists from Japan as well as Sweden have arrived in the English countryside to join concerned British defense experts and local specialists, all of whom set up a group to try to get to the bottom of the puzzle. Patrick Delgado, a retired radar expert who has written profitable books on the arcane subject, has insisted that the crop circles must have been created by some higher intelligence. I insist that they were created by a higher intelligence because, if not, the last 5 years of my life are a waste. But on Monday, British painters Doug Bauer and Dave Chorley, 62, claimed that for 13 years, they have been responsible for the circles that have first appeared in southern England. They did this for 13 years.
Yeah, dude.
Like, that's not just like, oh, we had this like weird idea and we like did this for like a weekend. Like, they were out there living this life.
Dude, they were out here hoaxing, bro.
They were hoaxed. They were auto-hoaxed.
Yeah, they were.
They were about that hoax life.
Yep.
Their hoax, they indicated, may have been improved on by other pranksters in other parts of the country or overseas. In the presence of reporters from the London newspaper, today they created circles in grain fields in the southeast county of Kent using only flat 4-foot planks, which they pulled around by hand with reins, thus toppling over grain stalks. That kind of gives more dimension to it, that it was 13 years. That's a long fucking time to be doing this. What's the real motivation there?
Yeah, Spencer, what is the real motivation to spend years of your life doing something fucking stupid for no real return and yet just pouring your life into it? Just going, someday, maybe someone will care.
Hey, we got ads on the show. We make a couple of bucks.
I'm not even necessarily just talking about the show. It is the show, but everything in my life is that.
Yeah, but is this at that level? Because I was thinking about this the other day. And of course, I got all this from Andrew's journal that he bequeathed to me with all of his innermost thoughts and memories. He spent a whole month writing and recording an album for this show. 9 fully produced songs for a rock opera musical that you guys made in a month and nobody cared. And he thought about that from time to time. And it was just like, you know, I wouldn't trade it for the world because it was just a really fun experience. We made this really cool thing, and it was a really cool way of spending a kind of fucked up time. So, you know, everything you're saying is right. But I do think there's a level of, like, no matter how stupid the things that you or I do, there's still, like, our little things that we're, like, proud of. We have, like, trophies of them. Like, you can hold up your comic, and it's a real thing. It's a real flesh and blood. And, you know, maybe, I don't know if you have Lovecraftian, Clive Barker-esque books.
The next printing we're going to have bound in human flesh, yeah.
But there are physical things that you can hold up and be like, I fucking made this, bitch. But these guys were just like walking around a field flattening grain for 13 years.
I think you're being myopic about it. I think it's the exact same experience, but to an even greater degree. What it really is that thought experiment of why do you make art? Would you still make it if no one knew it was you making it? That's what this is. These are dudes who are like, we're doing this performance art and we see it on the news the next day and people all over the world are like, what the fuck is going on in that field? And we know, and it's a private joke between the two of us in front of the entire planet. I totally relate to that.
But that gets to the heart of my question though, because is it that? Is it that they wanted some kind of like vicarious fame? Like they don't want people to know it's them, but they want to feel like, oh, we're fucking famous. People talk about us on the news. Was it like just some sheer boredom of living out in the country in England? What was it?
No, man, they're artists. This is our way of kind of like doing something that's not hurting anybody, but gets a reaction and is really fun. And it's kind of wholesome in a certain context because they're giving people who believe in these things something to believe in.
Not hurting anybody. Do you realize how many boll weevils they probably killed?
All right, keep reading this goddamn article. Keep reading the article.
The newspaper then took Delgado to view the circles, and according to the paper, he said of the designs, no human being could have done this. These crops are laid down in these sensational patterns by an energy that remains unexplained and is of a high level of intelligence. Which is so funny, considering that we know that it's just not true, but it's also like, it's funny to just say that. When you look at these crop circles, do you think a person couldn't make this? Like, was that ever a thing that came in your mind?
I mean, I didn't really know how they were made, but no, I wasn't like, that's impossible to make. I was like, yeah, I'm sure you could find a way to make that.
It's such a like obvious like lie to say that. And it's so funny because it's like, oh, these aren't possible to make for a human being. Okay, we're going to do it right now here in front of you. And then just demonstrate that it can be done very obviously. Like, it's such an easy lie that you could just prove right then and there by just doing it, because it is not a thing that looks difficult to do. That's just blatantly a lie. And seemingly nobody did that, but it would be so funny if somebody was like, oh yeah, well, I got a board and a string in my car. Let's fucking crack this out right now.
I think you should keep reading.
Does somebody Amazing Randy them?
You should keep reading.
The paper then introduced the man to author Delgado, who admitted, "We have been conned. This is a dirty trick. Thousands of lives are going to be wrecked over this." But later, Delgado denied that the circles had been created as a hoax. Delgado and his co-author, Colin Andrews, planned to hold a press conference today with others interested in the crop circles. As for Bauer and Chorley, they asserted that they went out into the fields at night using tractor paths to disguise their own footpaths and made the patterns. They created, they said, about 2,000 circles and allied patterns in Wiltshire, Hampshire, and Kent counties. The patterns were undoubtedly copied by others elsewhere, they suggested. The artists decided to reveal their prank, they said, because, as Bauer 67 pointed out, "We are not getting any younger. Besides," said Chorley, "they were tired of others profiting from their long-running prank. It was not discovered for more than 13 years," he said, commenting on the researchers. "If they want to go on with the charade, that is up to them." Terry Meaden, formerly associate professor of physics at Dalhousie University, Halifax, Nova Scotia, said Monday that the claim by Bauer and Chorley didn't explain everything. The Associated Press reported, Meaden, who heads up the Crop Circle Study Group, CERES, Circle Effect Research, with the ES added in honor of the Roman goddess of agriculture, claims to have proved that they are caused by eddies of wind running along hillsides. "I have no doubt that Bauer and Chorley are responsible for some hoaxes, but we are quite certain that crop circles are natural phenomenon and will carry on appearing whatever these two get up to," Meaden said. The sourest note came from farmer Peter Renwick, who made his field available to Bauer and Chorley, the AP reported. "I said they could do a small demonstration, then the next thing I know, 16 million people turned up," Renwick said. "All I want to do is get my harvest in."
Which is so fucking funny. That's so fucking funny. This poor farmer just getting screwed over.
Yeah, they're like, "Can we do this like little thing?" And he's like, "Okay, fine, I guess. Just make it quick." And then he gets flooded by fucking tourists and reporters.
Before we get into a more robust discussion about some of the free-ranging elements of this, no pun intended, the aspect of that legality was so fascinating to me, because I was like, are these guys liable for like property damage because they've like destroyed all these crops?
Yeah, 13 years of destroying people's crops. Pragmatically, that's what they did.
Yeah. So check out what happens when that is legally enforced. Just read this little paragraph here. It's pretty silly.
In 1992, Gabor Takacs and Robert Dalos, both then aged 17, were the first people to face legal action for creating a crop circle. Takacs and Dalos of the St. Stephen Agriculture Technicum, a high school in Hungary specializing in agriculture, created a 36-meter or 118-feet diameter crop circle in a wheat field near Székesfehérvár, 43 miles southwest of Budapest, on June 8, 1992. In September, the pair appeared on Hungarian TV and exposed the circle as a hoax, showing photos of the field before and after the circle was made. As a result, Aaron Kalak's company, the owners of the land, sued the teens for 630,000 feet, or FT, I guess that's a currency in the country, or $3,000 USD in damages. The presiding judge ruled that the students were only responsible for the damage caused in the circle itself, amounting to about 6,000 FT, or $30 USD, and that 99% of the damage to the crops was caused by the thousands of visitors who flocked to Székesfehérvár following the media's promotion of the circle. "It's me, Woodrow Wilson, and I'm here to tell you about this story that takes place in Székesfehérvár." The fine was eventually paid for by the TV show, as were the students' legal fees. My knee-jerk reaction was like, yeah, it's funny because these kids just thought like, oh, we're just going to tell people about this hoax we did. And then just we're not thinking about the repercussions of like, we're not just telling people we did a hoax. We're admitting to a crime publicly.
Well, that's what's so crazy, that Chorley and Bowers never got 13 years of property damage.
Yeah.
And it's not like they're even saying, like, oh, we didn't even do all of them shits, bro, so, like, don't stew us for everything. But, like, anybody who had a crop circle then in that 13-year period theoretically could have been like, we're fucking suing these bitches. You know what I mean? Like, I guess maybe that's just not the English way. But in America, that's a risky-ass thing to do, dude.
Yeah, you'd be fucked. And also, like, I kind of just don't care because it was, like, some corporation that it was their land. So it's like, eh, it was a prank. Who gives a shit? But the idea that they were like, well, only $30 of the damage was the kid's fault. The rest of the damage was caused by these tourists. But it's like, the reason why they came is because of the kids doing it. Like, they manufactured this event out of nothing. So it kind of is their fault. I don't think that they should have been punished because who gives a shit? It's just some farming company. They can pay $3,000 to fix their field. But if it was just some regular farmer like the other guy, and that was the property that got damaged by these kids, like, the idea that the rest of the damage wasn't their fault because it wasn't literally them that did it is just so ridiculous. Because it's like, this would have never happened if they hadn't have done this.
I think the things for me that are so fascinating about this story are the strange mixture of chicken and the egg logic that, like, constantly factors into it, where it's like the crop circles existed before these guys started doing them, but they popularized doing crop circles to the degree that they became a global phenomenon that was featured in all of these forms of media, right? And then, are there real crop circles laced within the ones that they did, or is it just this one in Australia that was a hoax created by somebody else? Or was that a real UFO? Did the devil mow that guy's lawn?
I mean, the devil definitely did mow that guy's lawn. And that's actually the sequel to the Charlie Wilson Band hit song. The devil went down to England to mow a lawn. And then there's like a 10-minute lawnmower solo in the middle of the song, and it's amazing. But they never released it because the public couldn't handle it. Our minds couldn't fathom, like, a song that good.
It's too satanic, bro.
Too satanic, too clean, too neat. We were only ready for, like, overgrown lawns that were, like, a little scrappy back then. We just couldn't handle the neatness of a mowed lawn by the devil.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, the final thoughts for this episode are, I've always been interested in crop circles. I never really thought that much about how they were made. I was always just kind of like, it's fucking cool, bro. Look at them fucking geometric shapes. There are some things about, like, UAPs and UFOs that I'm like, yeah, something weird's going on. I don't know. But this is not one of them. I've never been, like, a crop circle true believer. I've always been like, I don't know, that just seems like dudes out in a fucking field to me.
Yeah, well, that's kind of, like, part of the point I was starting to make in the beginning of the episode when I was talking about that whole idea of, like, how these ideas take shape now and then. Where what I was ultimately trying to say, or what I was trying to set up to say, was not that I believe that crop circles were real, but various stages of my life, I was willing to consider the possibility that they were real in the same way that I was willing to consider the possibility that UFOs were real and aliens were real. Because I think that they are just hanging in the zeitgeist that they just became like a thing that is like a given. Yeah, there's the alien stuff, and part of that is crop circles. But in reality, when you really think about it, crop circles are just a dumb thing that is very obviously not real. It's separate from alien lore because they're very well and maybe even likely are aliens. But crop circles are definitely fake. Like, it's a stupid idea.
Yeah, it really is. Like, there's no sort of causal link between the geometric shapes and any sort of tangible, definable reason. Like, why do they exist? Are they alien alphabets? Are they trying to leave us a message? Like, that shape doesn't come from just a craft taking off. You know what the explanation is? It's two dudes who like making art, hanging out with some beers in a fucking field.
Yeah. Although I prefer the explanation for crop circles from Invader Zim. If you ever saw the episode, whenever Dib has to shadow like an adult cryptid hunter guy for the day, like it's like a career day and he goes along with this cryptid hunter guy, but like he believes in all the stupidest most blatantly fake conspiracy theories and cryptids. And they go out to investigate like a crop circle in a field. And they go out there and there's just a cow rolling around in the field. That's the explanation for crop circles that I prefer.
Well, on that note, I'm Dave Baker.
And I'm Spandrew Spice.
This has been Deep Cuts. If you'd like to find me on the internet, you can do so at heydavebaker.com, or you can buy my book, Mary Tyler Moorhawk, wherever comics are sold. Spandrew, where can people find you on the internet?
If you want to pay respects to the dear beloved Papa Pricey, you can buy his book wherever his book is sold, which is specifically and exclusively on dapricerights.com. It's called Deadbolt AI Private Eye. It's a book about a robot detective from the future that solves crimes. And if you want to follow us on social media, you can go to Facebook and search Deep Cuts Podcast. You can join the Deep Cuts Podcast Facebook group where we talk about the show and make memes and other cool stuff. You can join our Discord server, bit.ly.com/deepcutsdiscord, where we talk about the show, make memes, play games, and other nice, fun community things. You can follow us on Instagram at Deep Cuts Pod. You can follow us on TikTok at Mystery Treehouse. And you can follow me on TikTok at Dead Boy Detective. Deep Cuts is a production by Boy Genius Media. If you'd like to find this show and others like it, please visit boygeniusmedia.com or deepcutspod.com.
If you want to join in on post-episode discussions, please join the Deep Cuts Podcast Facebook group. Finally, subscribe to our YouTube channel for additional video content.